Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daryl and I have talked ad nauseum about the Shador Sanders situation. We've had some jokes at the expense of it with people calling in here and there. Speeding,
is it appropriate for us to joke about
stories.
It, though?
I mean, I think it's... I don't know. We're not like making light of it. Like
right.
He shouldn't have done it. Like he should. Like it's fine that he did it. Everyone's calling in and making their telling us their stories about the speeding tickets that they got. I mean, Lou told us he was going 140 on I-70 71.
I proposed the Garrett Gordon Speedway.
Race, yeah, Speedway. I mean, I don't know. I think we have had the appropriate amount of like seriousness and you know comedic relief at the same time. To break up the monotony of this topic, because it is one of the only things kind of going on in the Browns' purview right now as they are sort of on summer vacation. But to here to break it down with us and talk about it some more, we have Nate Davis of the USA Today, who wrote a piece, a column, with his thoughts on the Shador Sanders speeding ticket situation. And Nate, I'm curious to pick your brain here, because you see this as maybe the start of a concerning trend for a young quarterback who's a fifth-round pick and trying to find his footing in the NFL.
I mean, Shador is messing with my summer vacation. Like you said, there's nothing else going on. I kind of the first version I wrote of it, guys, like I kind of tried to make the point that I don't think that, you know, taking this just the incidents themselves is that big a deal. I mean, I've got a bit of a heavy times and, you know, certainly, you know, there was no driving under the influence. There were no accidents, you know, who knows what the circumstances were, but, you know, kind of hard not to read it as a guy's trying to get home at night and driving a little too fast. But the point I made is that, you know, as you guys know, I mean, the Browns made heavy investments in Baker Mayfield and Deshaun Watson and, you know, traded back to get Johnny Manziel. There's a history of them, you know, making bad choices with quarterbacks and, you know, maybe should put Baker in that category, obviously, but they didn't do that with Shador Sanders. So, I think the worst thing he's doing here is giving them a reason to be like, well, you know, we can easily cut this quarterback competition down from 4 to 3. And I'm not saying that this would be the reason, but, you know, when you're in a four-way competition, don't give your team, you know, any reason to get rid of you. When really is you know, like a guy who's basically a fifth-round flyer, by definition, they don't need a reason to get rid of you.
Yeah, Nate, I mean, look, it comes down to decision-making, right? And as a quarterback, you have to be on point at all times with your decision-making process. And, you know, it started out okay. It was one speeding ticket. He was going, he was, you know, clocked 101. And then it came out yesterday. Oh, by the way, there was another ticket where he got clocked at 91. And, you know, the team says, hey, he's going to take care of it and whatnot. The question I want to ask you is about the supporting cast around him. And the reason I ask that is because there was a video posted by one of the folks who posts regularly about Shador, like videos and whatever. And there was a gentleman, this was at the celebrity softball game David Njoku held last night up here. And there was someone next to him. He's just a kid. It's not a big deal. He's done nothing wrong, whatever. And then Shadur had to interject and say, I made some bad choices. I'm going to learn from this, etc. My question is he surrounded by the right people considering everything that happened in the pre-draft process, right? That told him he was going to be a top five pick, so he acted like it, ended up in the fifth round. Does he got to kind of clean up the house a little bit around him?
I mean, I haven't been around him enough to know. I mean, I've seen the video, and it's like one of those things, like if you actually just saw what he said, you know, in a statement or something, that, you know, I've made some wrong decisions or whatever, like you wouldn't think twice about it. Like, okay, you know, let's move on from this. The way he delivered it, you know, he is at a charity softball game, and he's kind of joking around with his buddies, and like it seems more flippant when you actually see him say it. And again, I don't know that we need to kill the guy for driving, you know, too fast. But like, if you're going to say it with a serious face, and then let's just try to nip this issue in the bud. Like, don't seem like, you know, that, but like you said, the whole decision-making and the quarterback is the face of the team. Like, you know, just say this thing with a little bit of seriousness so we can all move on from it, you know, but you know, in terms of the whole, is he surrounded by the right people? You know, I can't speak to Shador's circle there, but I mean, the other thing about all this that to me is a bit of a red flag was that there was the concern that, you know, this is the first time he's away from his dad. And, you know, college programs and media access and all that stuff is generally much more tightly controlled because college football coaches, you know, run the roost. That's not necessarily the case in the NFL. And I think, you know, if Deion was the coach of the Browns, I'm not sure we'd know about any of this. But, you know, this is also the kind of thing where I think Shador has a little bit less margin for error, but he's got to kind of navigate all this new responsibility and being a guy in the professional workforce without his dad there basically to act as a safety net.
It's an interesting point, especially because that was one of the big criticisms against Shador during the pre-draft process was like, who is he going to be without his dad there every step of the way? Nate Davis of USA Today joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I want to go more at large with the Browns here, Nate, as we get ready for the 2025 season. And last year, the Browns were considered probably one of the better rosters in football. And I know there was people sort of picking them as like a dark horse, you know, make a deep playoff run type of team. And 1 year later, they're now considered one of the worst rosters in football. So I guess my question in this is, are we maybe underestimating how good this Browns team could ultimately be if they just get competent quarterback play this season?
It's probably one of those things, I think, where the truth is a little bit in the middle. You know, I think to me, one area that wasn't as good as I thought it could be or should be was the offensive line. You know, usually with Teller and Petonio, that's a pretty strong unit, but they've had some issues there. I think Kevin Stefanski is a great coach. You know, are you going to get another performance under Joe Flacco in 2025, assuming he's the starter that you did in 2023? I mean, maybe. I mean, he was great in spots with the Colts last year, but I want to count on that. But to me, the other component is too, though, is, I mean, how many games are the Browns going to win in the division? Because, I mean, it seems like all three teams are well ahead of them. And it seems like they always get Pittsburgh once and always get Cincinnati at home. So maybe that's not a big deal. Maybe they're going to win at least two games in the division. But it just seems like that, particularly with the question of quarterback, and it also seems like given the possibility that there could be multiple turnover at that position, depending on the way this season.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And goes, you know, we'll see. I mean, there are certainly still good players in this roster. I just kind of wonder what is really the upper ceiling. And then, you know, given they've got the two first-round picks next year, you know, it might work out better if they're not great. We'll see.
Nate, on paper, this rookie class looks like Andrew Berry may have hit it out of the park. For you, though, who is the most important rookie for the Browns to have success this coming season?
I mean, I think the low-hanging fruit is probably, you know, Mason Graham, and just, you know, what is this guy going to bring to your line in terms of, you know, what is his ability to play off Myles Garrett and create a bunch of disruption in there when this team has to go out and take down guys like Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson to be competitive in this division, or, you know, what can Mason Graham do to make Myles Garrett even better than he already is? So, you know, I don't know anybody really saw him winding up with the Browns, and obviously that's a function of the trade out of the two spot. But I think that's probably the first guy I would look at there. But I mean, to me, Judkins is also a guy. I just like, you know, the attitude I think he can bring, and I think that will also be a real important component to the offense. When you don't have Nick Chubb anymore, I don't know that he can be a galvanizing kind of leader, particularly as a rookie, obviously, that Nick Chubb was for so long. But I do think that he can replace something that they had kind of lost when Chubb had been hurt in recent years, and that might help everybody, you know, offensive line, quarterback, whoever on the offensive side, if he can bring that kind of hammer element back to the running game.
Nate Davis joining us on the show here. I want to go more broadly inside the AFC North. I think it was last week. All these weeks are blurring together now. Aaron Rodgers obviously officially signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I guess I'm just curious from your perspective, like, how much more does Aaron Rodgers actually have in the tank? Does this change the math at all for the Pittsburgh Steelers in terms of what their ceiling is, which we know their ceiling right now is basically make the playoffs and lose in the first round? Does this help them get further in the postseason? What do you sort of expect for that team with Aaron Rodgers now at the helm?
Yeah, you kind of said it, and I've kind of been critical of the Steelers for the quarterback management, specifically for the last year. I mean, they needed a quarterback. He needed a place to work. Obviously, he still wants to play. But yeah, I mean, to me, they look like they're still kind of stuck in their 10-7 kind of mode. Get into the wild card round, and are you really going to beat any of the better teams in the AFC at that point? On paper, I'd say probably no. Particularly if you're going to wind up again playing at Arrowhead or playing at Baltimore or whatever it is. So to me, they're just kind of treading water, and you know, a year from now, they're back. I mean, no offense to Browns fans, but I mean, you're back drafting in the 20s in the Kenny Pickett zone, the Paxton Lynch zone, you know, that kind of guy that, you know, when a quarterback lasts into the 20s in the first round of the draft, like, he's not really, you almost see quarterbacks like NBA lottery picks. Like, if they're not getting taken in the top five, it's not the same kind of guy you're getting. So I feel like they just continue to kick the can down the road at that position. You know, 1 year contract and a year from now, really, where are we going to be?
Nate, the Ravens signed Jaire Alexander after he was released from the Packers. So basically, the rich get richer within the division. Is this the Ravens division to lose? And where do you think they fit now in the big picture of trying to finally get back to the Super Bowl there with Lamar Jackson at the helm?
Yeah, to me right now, the Ravens, I think I would probably rank them as the second team in the league behind Philadelphia. I've seen a lot of the Ravens. I live in the D.C. area. I get to a lot of their games. You can't question the talent throughout that roster. And to me, the amazing thing about them is that Lamar Jackson, as good as he is, seems to get better every year. Still really hasn't found his ultimate ceiling. I mean, I don't know that they're missing anything on this roster on paper. I think again, probably the hardest thing for them is playing in a tough division, and that makes it harder to win that number one seed. They did have the home field advantage 2 years ago and didn't work out against the Chiefs, but I haven't made up my mind yet, but I think the Ravens may be the team I'm going to pick to win, certainly win the AFC, and we'll kind of see beyond that.
Staying in the division one more time with the Bengals, obviously, offensively, like, they're going to be a juggernaut. We know that. When you have Joe Burrow at quarterback, you have the receivers that they prioritize keeping around this offseason, they're bound to be really good on that side of the ball. But the defense has a lot of questions. Trey Hendrickson, obviously, going through a holdout situation. Their top pick isn't now showing up to workouts and camp and all those different things. So what should we expect from the Cincinnati Bengals, who seem to be dealing with a lot of turmoil, but at the same time have one of those coveted franchise quarterbacks that always give you a chance?
Yeah, I think they should be better, hopefully. I mean, as bad as the defense was last year, I mean, I'm guessing at the end of the day, Trey Hendrickson will be back in the fold, and certainly Shamar Stewart at some point, I think, will decide to get in, and they'll resolve his language. But if that defense goes from terrible to average, or maybe just a little bit below average, I mean, I think this is a team that can kind of be back where they were a few years ago, where they're in the mix for the AFC Championship game, and we know what that means. But they're also kind of doing the same thing to some degree, where every year with the Bengals, it's getting off to a slow start. And I mean, you know, last year losing that Week One opener at home to the Patriots, I mean, pretty easy to point to that as the reason that ultimately they didn't make the playoffs. I mean, you get that win against a bad team, you're not scrambling at the end and hoping to backdoor your way in. But yeah, they've got all the talent in the world. I mean, lots of weapons. I still think I worry a little bit about Joe Burrow's protection, and some, I think it could be better. But he is obviously, as we know, a great quarterback. I'm interested what Chase Brown might bring to the running game this year, but the wild card is the defense, and then, you know, the further wild card is that they changed coordinators and brought in Al Golden, and how is that going to look this year? But you wouldn't think, you know, assuming that they at least have all their guys back, or the ones that they're supposed to have anyway, that it can't be as bad as it was a year ago. But they've got to get rid of these distractions, and they can't do another 1-3 kind of September.
He's Nate Davis, covers the NFL for USA Today. Check out his latest column on Shador Sanders titled "Beware Shador Sanders: Browns Could Cut You for Less Than Speeding Tickets." It's a really well done article. I think he did a nice job sort of capturing and encapsulating what this story should mean, and specifically to Shador Sanders. So check that out if you can. Nate, we are grateful for you giving us some time here on a Friday. Thank you so much, my man, and take care.
Okay, pleasure. Thank you.
Nate Davis again, USA Today on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.